It's your girl, Christina. This is Overheard at Yoga. So let's crank up the heat and get down, dog. Okay, we're starting the episode. And I'm... Emma, say hi.
Hi, Christina. Hi, everybody.
So we were just trying to do a Zoom meeting, and you called me because what's happening where you are?
So I'm in South Dakota, and it's very, very windy, and our internet went out like 10 minutes ago, right before the call.
Great timing. How is South Dakota? Weren't you just in Denver?
I was in Denver visiting some friends, and I went to Meow Wolf. Have you heard of Meow Wolf?
Is it Meow Wolf, like M-E-O-W, meow, like a cat, Meow Wolf?
Yes.
I saw you tag them on social media, and I thought the space looked gorgeous.
Yeah, so it is an art installation. It's a permanent art installation, and they put one up in Denver in, I don't know if it was like an old convention center or if they built it specifically, the building specifically for Meow Wolf. But there's one in Denver, there's one in Las Vegas, and there's one in Santa Fe.
Cool.
And they all have a different theme. I've just been to the one in Denver, but they all have a different theme. And they're these permanent installations that you can go to. The one in Denver costs $45, and you can just stay as long as you want. They have a place where you can get drinks or food. It's very cool. I recommend it.
What was your favorite part about it?
Oh, man. There were things that you could, like, crawl through to get to other rooms.
Oh, my God, that's
awesome. There were things that were very interactive like that. There was one room that had, like, all of these spinning black and white lines, and it was the entire room, the floor, the ceiling. You had to kind of search for the door. That one was very like it got all your senses, kind of, because you were just
very
surrounded.
Sensory.
Yes
I'm into that stuff. There's so much I want to talk to you about and ask you about, but before we get into that, will you tell our listeners a little bit about yourself?
Yes. So my name is Emma Fugglesby, and I am currently teaching meditation, which is my passion, which I'm really excited to be able to say and really step into. I started teaching meditation about 4 years ago. It'll be 4 years this coming March. So I'm also a certified yoga instructor, and I received my 200-hour in March of 2018, and then immediately just started teaching meditation. And so I'm super excited to be here with you today, because in 2022, I also want to start some coaching programs and start teaching yoga more regularly, as well as staying with meditation. But
what's the name of your company?
Iridaza, so IRIDAEZA.
Can you tell us a little bit about your company?
Yeah, so we have it's a brand for your lifestyle, and so we carry notebooks. I just very recently got my first batch of candles, where I collaborated with a local candle maker on Guam, where I was recently living. We can talk about that too.
I can't wait.
We have some room spray and some facial products that are Ayurvedically blended by a woman that I know in Northern California. And so we have things like that that go along with, like, a yoga practice, a meditation practice, or kind of just like mindful living.
So to those of you who don't know Miss Emma Fugglesby, she was the friend that tricked me into going to my first hot yoga class. So this is all your fault, just so you know.
I know. I remember when you started, like, doing yoga and, like, really getting into it. I love where you are now. It's been so wonderful to see the journey.
Like, what do you remember about that time in our lives when we started doing yoga together?
You know, I think that we were at a time in our lives where we were looking for something more, you know, where it was something like we were having a lot of fun. We had good friends. But we wanted more connection, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think that's where we found it, was yoga.
And I love that we both have been going down this yoga pathway, but in our own ways. I think that's so cool. Yeah, you tricked me into going to hot yoga. How did you do that? Do you remember
that?
I have no idea.
I think just because we probably just did a lot of things together and we just had fun together. And so you were like, okay, whatever.
You didn't tell me until we got there. I was trapped in the car.
Was it in Boise or were we in Seattle?
We were in Seattle. We went to Sweatbox. It was a 90-minute class.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that I was, before talking to you today, I was kind of going over my yoga journey, right? And I was like, oh yeah, Seattle's when I got into like hot yoga and Bikram, and I got real crazy into the, all of that, like all the heat and the kind of intense, yoga stuff. So, I probably just wanted you to come with me. So I knew I couldn't tell you.
That's true. That's exactly true. We were living together in Boise like a few years later. And I remember you and your boyfriend at the time were getting ready to go on a meditation retreat. I want to say you went on a handful of meditation retreats that year. And at the time, I thought you were insane. I was like, the stories you would tell me didn't make any sense to me. What did you say? You said you had to look down and you just knew people by their shoes.
Yeah, it was. So I have done just two 10-day silent retreats, Vipassana retreats. And the first one I did was in Idaho, and they don't have a permanent retreat center there. Well, they didn't. Oh my gosh, it was probably like 9 years ago now. So they could now. But they just do these things where if they don't have a permanent retreat center, they just set up these like kind of base camps. And so, yeah, I did one outside of Boise, actually outside of Ketchum. So, northern Idaho. And it was this beautiful scenery, but it was encouraged to not really make too much eye contact. It was silent, so no talking, no phones. They even encouraged us not to write. So it was a very internal experience. Yeah, so knowing people by their shoes, kind of recognizing people's shuffling, things like that.
What was that like for you? Because I know that you are a very creative person. You're a writer. I'm still like horrified about being quiet for 10 days and not talking to people and not being distracted by writing or my phone.
Yeah. Or my phone. Yeah. Or the phone. You could just say that on repeat. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I've been thinking about that a little bit lately. And I think that it was actually easier for me to do when I was younger. Being in my 30s now, I'm feeling more of the stress of life and kind of this, part of the reason why I moved back to South Dakota was because I felt like I was missing out on some family time. I started to feel kind of like, okay, life is happening, you know? Mm. And even though I was always really good about kind of living in the moment, and I hope that I still will be, and I hope that I still am, but I'm also kind of taking a step back and looking at the bigger picture and being like, okay, who do I really want to be spending my time with? And what am I potentially missing out on? And so when I was younger, some of this big picture stuff didn't matter to me as much. And so I think that it was actually easier for me when I was younger to go inward and be silent like that. It was life-changing though. I would still recommend it. And I hope to do another one in the future. I still think about it all the time. And then, like I said, I was living on Guam I was living on Guam and I was there for a little over 2 years and there weren't any opportunities out there, to do the retreats. And so now that I'm back in the States, I would like to go back, and do another one, but it is like nothing I had ever experienced before.
10 days probably seems pretty excessive for an introductory one, would you say, or no?
I would. Yeah, I would say that that's excessive. I do know that there's a retreat center in Northern California called Spirit Rock. I have not been there personally, but I do work with a meditation teacher who teaches there regularly. And they do 7-day silent retreats, but they incorporate more movement and writing and working with a teacher a little bit more closely. So that, I think, is what I'm going to check out soon.
I can't wait for you to host your own meditation retreat or collaborate with me and we can do a yoga and meditation retreat. I think we would kill it.
I would love that.
It would be so much fun.
Let's definitely set that up.
Okay, so everyone listening, get ready. We're going to announce something soon. Okay, how long? You were in Guam for 2 years. Tell me everything. Because I started to pay attention to you social media-wise, because obviously I couldn't hang out with you when you were in Guam. And you had Iridesia online store. You had those beautiful eye pillows that came out. You would post or do little stories where you'd show us the magazines that you would sell. And I loved watching them because, first of all, the sound of your voice is very soothing. And the way you pronounce magazine is just really interesting to me because of your South Dakota accent.
Yes. Okay, so I moved to Guam with my ex-boyfriend. He's a professor, and so he took a job at the University of Guam out there, and I went with him. It was super fun. And when I got out there, I met this woman who was starting a wellness collective, and it's called Eno Wellness Collective. And I can send you that information. So if your listeners want to check her out. So she puts on retreats as well as hosts a Wellness for All program. So people can sign up for the Wellness for All program. You can donate to the Wellness for All program. And then people who apply to be in that program either get a free meditation sessions or yoga sessions. And so I was a part of her collective where, I was doing the Wellness for All, doing retreats in person, and then corporate wellness as well.
What was the best part about living in Guam?
Honestly, her retreats. she would do just day-long retreats, which is something I would love to get into in Sioux Falls in South Dakota as well, because there's just nothing like that here at this time. And so we would go to these retreats. They were, since it was warm weather, island weather, we would just be outside. There was always a yoga session and then a workshop of some sort, and then I would lead meditation sessions, and it was so wonderful to just be able to be in community, especially during COVID and after COVID and kind of coming out of that.
Oh my gosh. So are you planning on being in South Dakota, Sioux Falls for a while? Do you have an idea?
Yeah. I'm going to give myself 3 years, I think, and just see how it goes. I'm going to try to settle in for a little bit though. Yeah.
So
for those of you who don't know me, 3 years can be that's a long stretch for me.
Are you going to change your mind tomorrow though?
Oh goodness.
What do you think? Do you do that? Are you one of those people who change their minds?
You know, I do listen to my heart and my intuition, and I take big leaps. But like I said, I have been missing my family. My little brother got married and had a baby.
Oh my gosh.
And so
Auntie
I'm an aunt.
Emma.
Yes. So I'm going to settle in. I'm going to see what happens. But I'm going to still travel. So I want to come see you.
Okay.
And I want to come to Boise. I want to take some yoga classes. I want to see Sharika.
Did you listen to our episode that we did?
I haven't. I need to
check it out. She has some really incredible, interesting workshops coming up that I think she's just blown it out of the water. She's so cool. When we get off this episode, we're going to set some dates, and I want you to come visit Boise. Boise misses you. I'm really happy for your family, but your mom's so excited that you're going to be there for a little while. So when I think of you, I think of Pisces. You flow with water. You're like a little gypsy in my eyes because you travel so much, and you would just decide to get in your car at 10 o'clock at night, and you're like, I'm going to just drive to Colorado tonight. I'm just going to drive to California tonight. And you would just go. I always thought that you would just, like you said, follow your heart. So, so I wasn't surprised when you moved to Guam. I wasn't surprised when you just would travel around and be yourself. So I'm a little surprised when you're like, I'm in South Dakota, but I'm
We're
so
all
happy
surprised.
For you.
Yeah, we're all surprised. Thank you so much. Yeah, it was a big decision. And it really was one, oh, I might cry. It really was one made through my heart, and like really realizing that I, you know, even though I've been having so much fun for a long time, it I was looking for things outside of myself, and I didn't really understand that that's what I was doing at the time, but it was like I was trying to fill something. I was trying to figure something out, and I don't regret any of it, but I just feel that way a lot less now. I feel like I'm ready to learn more from where I'm from and who I'm from and what made me who I am, and yeah, kind of settling into that or centering into that place of looking within a little bit more, listening within a little bit more. And even though, like I said, I still want to continue to travel and do that, not needing to be out in the world in such a major way. Like I needed that before.
Do you feel like it was because you're in your 20s that you would consider your need for travel and new experiences as the external thing that you were focused on?
Very much. Yeah, my 20s. And so, yeah, definitely very Pisces. Pisces, sun, Pisces rising, but Sagittarius moon. So, like, I have this like emotional drive to get to know other cultures and get to know other places. And growing up in South Dakota, it's pretty, there's not a lot of diversity in people or culture. It's growing, definitely. But I just knew that I wanted to see more and experience more growing up. So I went for it.
I want to say I met you when you were 19.
Yes.
Okay. And I remember we had like just moved in together and you admitted to me that you had this thought that you could never live in South Dakota again. And you were, a part of you was kind of sad about that, but a part of you was excited to go on these new adventures. So I really love seeing you continue to follow your heart and explore. And even though you say that you were externally looking outward in your 20s and exploring new experiences, you still had that internal aspect of you because you were interested in yoga and meditation all along.
And I love that you remember that. That's so sweet to hear. But I found yoga right before I moved to Boise. So I don't know if I was 18 or 19, but I did move to Boise when I was 19, and we met pretty much right away. But yeah, yoga came into my life. I had met this person, and he was a world traveler at the time, and he introduced me to yoga. And my mom and I got into it at the same time, which was really cool. She kind of moved away from religion and got into spirituality because of it,
Oh,
which was really
yeah.
cool to see her transformation in that, which she's still very much in, being raised Catholic through out the 60s and 70s, et cetera, you know. And then, yeah, more moving into spirituality through yoga, which has been, yeah, a really neat journey for her. And then, yeah, I got to Boise, and I was trying to remember the teacher's name. I used to do yoga at the Boise YMCA. I lived in the North End, of course.
Yeah, in that
And,
cute little apartment.
yep. And I would ride my bike to do yoga at the Y. And there was this woman, and I think her name started with an A. But yoga was in the basement, and it was always packed. And she was amazing. So if anybody knows who she is, let her know that she
Yes,
was
if you're
amazing.
listening and you
Changed
know
my
who
life.
Emma's talking about at the Boise downtown YMCA, please tell us. I'm very curious as well.
From like 14, 15 years ago, something like that. Yeah.
What's the yoga scene like in Sioux Falls?
I gotta be honest, I don't really know yet. I've only I hadn't been here in a couple of years, and then I just moved back about a month ago. So I'm still getting settled in. It's super cold, so I'm not going outside that much. I'm not like exploring too much at this point. But I'm excited to find out. I have seen that they do some outdoor yoga sessions in the summer. I don't know who does that yet. But I'm really looking forward to jumping in and seeing the studios. And also would love to work with the gyms here. I think that bringing yoga to the gyms is a little bit more common these days, but it hasn't really hit South Dakota yet. So I would like to get in on that too.
Oh, you will. You're gonna rock their worlds. What else did I want to ask you? Oh, yeah. So today is the winter solstice. Are you doing anything in honor of the winter solstice?
Yes. So this morning when I got up, I lit my candle, the new candles that I have at Iridesa, and I did some journaling. And then I watched a video on, it was a little video workshop replay from my friend who started the Eno Wellness Collective on designing habits. And so I got into that and I was writing out habits that I want to get rid of, new habits that I want to create. And then getting into, she teaches about kind of the psychology behind habit forming. And so that's what I was getting into for the solstice. And then I'll probably have an easy evening to kind of honor the darkness, you know?
I've been like, I was in such a mood right before we talked on the phone because it is the winter solstice and I want to have really chill, easy vibes today. And I suddenly felt kind of overwhelmed because I had these different things I needed to do. And I had taken a yoga class this morning and I was getting ready to go out the door when this gentleman came into the yoga studio. I was at work and he asked if he could use the restroom. And I recognized him because I've seen him around a little bit before where he'd come in and ask to use the restroom. And he's got definitely like homeless vibe all over him. And I, in the summer is when I'd let him use our outdoor showers if he needed to take a shower. But he just asked to use the bathroom and I was like, yeah, sure. And then next thing I know, like class has started, the massage has started and I'm getting ready to head out the door to go quickly grab lunch and check on my dogs and then meet up with you. And he's in there and he's in there and he's in there and he's in there and he's in there. And I'm like, oh my gosh, is he okay? I knock on the door. I'm like, are you okay? I don't hear anything. He doesn't say anything. And I remembered his name. So I like kind of cracked the door open and I said his name. I'm like, hey, what's going on? Are you okay? And he's like, yeah, I'm fine. I'll be out soon. I'm like, okay. So then I wait another 10 minutes and I'm starting to get kind of frustrated and irritable, but also like conflicted because I feel like this person needs help. But I also feel like I've got shit to do, but I also feel like it's winter solstice. I should relax. And it's like this whole mental game. And then so I just like keep knocking on the door. I'm like, hey, like I really have to go. I'm going to be late for my appointment. And so he like another 5 minutes goes by and he comes out and it felt really uncomfortable having to ask him to leave because I think the impression I was getting is he thought that if I would like knock a few times and he didn't say anything that I would just leave and then he could just stay in the studio. And I was like, no, you gotta go. Like I need to lock up. We gotta go. And then he starts asking me 20 questions like, well, where do you have to go and what do you have to do? And what if I wanted to come back and take a class? And I was like, well, then come back later, but I have to go. I don't know. It just really, it just like threw me off and made me feel like bad and angry.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that. I feel that. It's like 10 minutes before we're going to meet on Zoom. I do my makeup. I do my hair. And then the internet goes out. I got dressed up for you, Christina. And then the internet goes out. And I'm like, oh, cool. Well, you know, at least we're going to be talking about yoga because this is what yoga does, though. It helps us, right? It helps us in everything that we do. It's like flexibility isn't just physical.
Yeah, my flexibility isn't great at all. And people like expect it to be. Like, it's not. I remember taking a Bikram class years ago when I just moved back to Boise. And one of the yoga teachers who I recognized from like another class I had taken there, she went right in front of me. And I was like, ooh, cool. Yoga teacher's in front of me. I can watch her. And she took like so many breaks and she was modifying the postures. Mm-hmm. And I judged her so harshly. I'm such a bitch. And I was just confused mostly. I'm like, why is she doing that? Like, I don't understand. Because in my mind at the time, I definitely was not a yoga teacher. I was like, in order to be a yoga teacher, you have to basically be perfect. You have to honor who you are and where you're at.
And yoga teachers might know that more than anybody.
Exactly.
And so she's like, I'm not going to do that. I'm not doing that. I'm not doing that. I'm taking a break. I'm drinking water.
So now I feel like I'm that honorary teacher at the studio. Like, I'm first one to go into child's pose. Today we were doing big toe pose, and I had like a giant bend in my knee to open up my hip because there's that leg is not going to go straight. It's just not going to happen. And I'm okay with that. Mm. And I feel honored to be their representative yoga teacher that just lets folks know it's okay.
Yes. Yes. I started teaching meditation after I got my certification because I am just so scared to speak in public. I am so scared of everybody looking at me. So I started teaching meditation because it's like a little trick, you know?
You know, when you were talking about the meditation retreats, I'm like thinking like, how easy is that for work? You don't really have to plan stuff because everyone's just going to be quiet. But I'm sure that's not true. Is it?
For me, it's very intuitive. You know, I definitely am constantly taking notes and listening to other people's meditations and constantly meditating and being just mindful myself. It's not that there's no prep, but it does come pretty naturally. So, so that's really nice, you know, and I kind of fought myself with that for a while. I kind of thought that, my work had to be more challenging or feel more difficult for it to be work. Lucrative or to be work. And it's just not true. You can really do what you love. Wow.
I love that you get that because sometimes I feel like I should be driving a nice car and live in a nice home and I should be working 80 hours a week where I am busy constantly.
You do drive a nice car and live in a nice home.
I do. And that's the thing. I really do. So who am I comparing myself to? And then that line comes to me, more money, more problems. And I don't need that.
Yep. No. And what is success, right? You know, it's like we all have to define that for ourselves, and it doesn't have to be huge incomes. You know, it can be, but it doesn't have to be.
And everyone can choose for themselves.
Yeah. And I think just leaning into doing what you love, it feels so good. And I think that it's very... I'm even inspired by it. I don't know how that sounds, but I'm just like, okay, no, you can do this, you know? And then I do it and I'm like, yeah, that was great.
And just living a lower stressed life. I mean, we live longer, we're healthier, our relationships are better. So overall, I think, I don't know who said it was the Dalai Lama, perhaps, who's like, he was surprised at American culture or Western culture because they kill their health trying to make all this money, but then they spend all their money trying to get their health back.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I have to ask you one more question. What have you overheard at yoga?
I'm so happy that you told me this before, because at first I was like, what haven't I overheard at yoga? everything, all of the weird stuff, all of the awesome stuff. But my favorite, and it's recent, and I recently started studying with a new type of yoga. It's called Katona Yoga. I'll give you that information too. They're based out of New York, and I love them. I'm obsessed. But one of the teachers specifically, she always says to get over yourself. So you can think about it in forward folds. You can think about it in back bends. So it's literal, but it's also mental. Get over yourself.
Get over yourself. Oh, that's so good. I'm teaching a class today. I think I'm gonna throw that in there.
Get over it.
Get over yourself. Emma, please tell everyone again where they can follow you, find you, look you up, connect with you.
Yes. So on Instagram, of course, I'm at Iradeza, and we'll give you that information. And then also my personal is Tomorrow Never Knows. And so with Iradeza, iradeza.com, where I have products, but then I also have my meditations available. So you can book with me there. And then I also have a section on there of well-being resources with some other women who I have worked with in wellness, various wellness fields that you can also learn about.
Awesome. Cool. Well, thank you so much for coming on my little podcast. Don't get off the phone yet because I need to talk to you some more. Bye, guys.
Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, yeah. You're so welcome. The ending and the beginning of the podcast are like my most awkward parts. I never know how to sign off. But bye, guys. Thanks for listening. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode. Leave me a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, and I want to hear from you. Please send me your overheard at yoga stories. Tell me about your yoga journey, what you love about your home studio, or the funny thing you overheard at yoga. Find me on Instagram at overheardat.yoga to submit. There are so many different styles of yoga and opinions about yoga, but the one thing I've seen in all my travels to different studios is yoga brings a community together. Namaste.